أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل بيت
الطيبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters, before I begin the main lecture tonight, and tonight we'll be finishing up the thoughts that come to mind regarding verse number 7. There was a correction that was made. One of the mu'mineen addressed me after the lecture, and he said, based on what I said, it sounded like Fatimah al-Zahra was leading Ali. So let me correct that, if that was what was understood, to make sure that everybody knows that we believe that the Imam of Fatima was Ali alayhi salam. So that was her Imam, and there's no shame in that. That doesn't reduce anything from her status. Actually, inshallah, we'll see how the system of wilaya, when it's implemented, works out for the good of religion. It also works out good for the family. So that was that note. So now we begin with the ayah of Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأوحينا إلى أم موسى. God says, we revealed to the mother of Musa أن أرضعي. Breastfeed him. Give him milk. فإذا خفتي علي. Once you're afraid for him, you know the authorities are now coming. And remember that they had midwives who were there to tell the authorities when a male baby would be born. So, okay, now your midwife, because this part of the story I didn't share with you guys, the midwife who was assigned to tell and report to the authorities that Musa had been born, God kept her from doing that. How? We're told in the ayat of the Quran that God cast down mahabba and love on Musa. The Imams tell us that Musa was such, anybody who saw Musa would fall in love with Musa. So what happened was, although the authorities were looking and she was there and she's supposed to report to the authorities, she sees Musa and she falls in love with Musa. She tells the mother, don't worry. But now, so alhamdulillah, she passed that initial test. Musa is safe from that regard. But now what about the others? As a child, eventually other people are going to find out. Once you're afraid, you have other instructions. Once you're afraid, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ. We learn from other verses of the Qur'an that a small tabut, a basket, was made, and Musa is going to be put in that basket, and then Musa will be sent up the river, and God told her, actually, Fir'aun will retrieve Musa. And God gave her further instructions. He says, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Now this part, I know for myself as a parent, for many of us who have children, this part for a mother would be very difficult. What does God say next? He says, don't be afraid, لا تخافي ولا تحزني. Don't worry. This stage of tawakkul, inshallah, Allah will grant it to all of us. I do what God says, complete reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not afraid, not worried, doing my part. So, he puts him in. What else does God promise? He says, Inna raduhu ilayk. We promise you, we are going to bring Musa back to you. Musa will be safe. Don't worry, relax. What else? Waja'iluhu min al-mursaleen. We're going to make him one of the anbiya, one of the mursaleen, one of the prophets. This part of the verse is what we want to discuss now, right? That God gave two promises in these verses. One promise is that Musa will be returned. Musa is going to be safe. Don't worry about that. But in addition to that, the other promise is that Musa will be one of the Anbiya, not only one of the Anbiya, but the Mursaleen. Our question is this, because when we look at these verses of Quran, brothers and sisters, in these special nights, we're looking for practical inspiration. How can I use these verses to make me a better person? How can I learn? I just don't want historical facts, book knowledge about the Quran and these wonderful stories. There's a reason why God shared them with me. How can I use them to prepare me for the Imam of my time? How can I become one of the elite soldiers of the Imam of my time? So now the question we want to ask is this. God says that he made Musa, or he will make Musa, one of the Mursaleen. Question, why was Musa chosen? Being one of the Mursaleen is excellent. Having a position when it comes to working for the cause of God is excellent. This is different from Hubbur Riyasa, that I want to lead, I want to be in charge, I want people to stand when I come into the room, I want to give orders and commands. This is something different. What we're talking about is something special. Brothers and sisters, as we're getting closer and closer to the time of the Imam, inshallah, we'll all see his reappearance. The Imam looks differently at those brothers and sisters who want to be leaders of the muttaqeen than he does those people who simply want to be among the foot soldiers. There's some people when they make that dua that Allah make us imam for the muttaqeen. Now, of course, this is a dua we might want to be a little careful about making, right? You want to ask God for that position, that you're going to lead the others. And it doesn't mean necessarily leading, ruling the others. I'll be ordering the mu'mineen around. No. Leading by example. Guiding others. Whatever position it is that I have, pushing everybody. So for those people who have a little bit more spiritual ambition, for somebody like myself, if I come out of Fatimiyah and at least I stop committing sin, alhamdulillah, that would be a blessing. But some of you, brothers and sisters, are looking for a little bit more. You know there are maqamat. There are positions. The imam, where he's waiting right now, he's picking and choosing some. Why is it some people become among the shuhada? Why is it some people are given that opportunity by Ahlul Bayt to serve in a special way where they affect others? Imam of the Muttaqeen. So that's the question we're looking for. Question is, why did God choose Musa? We know it wasn't just that you picked him out of a hat, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, Musa. Right? That's not how it works. So, we'll go to the ahadith and see that, and then inshallah focus on this. This will be our lesson inshallah for the night. God speaking now to Musa. Awha Allah ila Musa. God, wahi to Musa. He says, Atadri ya Musa. Right? Do you know, Musa? Lima intajabtuka min khalqi wastafaytuka likalami. Do you know why it is I chose you out of everybody else? Why I gave you the barakah, the blessing, the chance to be the person who speaks to me directly? Why you? Musa is now speaking. فَقَالَ لَا يَا رَبْ. No idea. Why did you choose? فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. God now responds. He says, إِنِّي اطَّلَعْتُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. I looked on the earth. All of my creation, I looked on the earth. He says, فَلَمْ أَجَدْ عَلَيْهَا أَشَدَّ تَوَاضُعًا لِي مِنْكَ. He said, when I looked at all of the creation, I didn't see anybody who had more tawadhu towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards me as God, than you. You are the most humble soul out there. And when I saw that, I said, this is a person who is going to be given that position. This is the person who will be honored with divine speech. I'm talking to them directly. I'm going to make them a leader for the muttaqeen. I'm going to give them that responsibility. So now, brothers and sisters, our work is cut out for us. If we want to be those leaders of the mu'mineen, bringing others to the right path, God needs to see which of us is ashaddu tawadhu'an, who has the most humility. Different than Western styles of leadership. If you go to a leadership course and they train you to be charismatic, that's different. What does Islam say? So, brothers and sisters, we want to ask a couple of questions. What do we mean by being humble, showing humility? What's the difference between Islamic akhlaq? Because other people in a secular world, they might also be humble. But their reason for it isn't God. They have other reasons. There's reasons to be humble. Pseudo-humility. As opposed to being openly arrogant and showing everybody what's in my heart. Right? What does he mean by being humble in the first place? What else? How do we show humility to God? As the verse, the hadith tells us, it says, أَشَدُّ تَوَاضُعًا لِي. Right? You, to me, you are humble. What does it mean to show humility to God? More than that, because Islam isn't a religion that allows us to only take care of our personal obligations to God, and I have nothing to do with the rest of the community. It's me and God. It's a personal thing. Actually, what we find is that Islam is a religion that demands that I show my obedience to God in society. True Islam is one that has everything to do with my social political relationships with others, with the rest of the community. Islam is not something I go in my cave, I stay in my house, I take my tasbih, alhamdulillah, that's enough. I worship God in my house. I'm a closet Muslim. No, you're a closet Muslim? No. You're going to have to be out. You have to, God has to see these traits. So, question, if I want to show tawadhu towards God, how do I show tawadhu towards creation? How do I demonstrate these traits and these sifat to others to show God that I'm mutawadhu? What else? Are there ever times when we're not supposed to be humble? Sometimes there are exceptions, right? Islam doesn't always say humility. When are those times that actually we're not humble? So different questions that we want to ask ourselves, and inshallah we will benefit. So one of the things we want to keep in mind is that the Islamic akhlaq that we're trying to develop, these traits that we're trying to acquire, all of it revolves around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others outside of our realm, outside of mu'mineen, they might also show tawadhu, might also be very humble, but if it's not for God, that's not what we're talking about. The tawadhu that we're talking about, the humility that we want to show, is all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's God who's the reason that we're humble. It's because of God that sometimes we're not humble. It's God who shows us how to demonstrate that humility, right? So the divine akhlaq is very different from what we see out in the secular world. But what do we mean when we say this humility? Let's start off with a fundamental concept. In Islam, and by the way, because now, because of the letter of the leader, then now we have that responsibility to talk to others and make sure that they also know about Islam and our teachings. Share these teachings. Don't keep Islam as a secret to ourselves. When you're describing the God of Islam to others, mention this point. God in Islam is arrogant. Al-Mutakabbir. Among the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mutakabbir. Right? God is the one who has kibriya. It's very different to the God you might see in Christianity or in the old guy on the clouds, right? That's not the God of Islam. Your God, he's not a monster. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a monster, but he's kind of scary. Huh? What happens if you don't obey God? Oh, more than that. God forbid. You know what God really hates? He hates it when somebody's arrogant. Let me read you one of these scary ahadith. Brace yourselves, brothers and sisters. One of the scary ahadith. It says, Al-kibriya'u rida'i. Arrogance is my cloak. Wal-azamatu izari. Greatness is my wrap. فَمَنْ نَازَعْنِي فِي وَاحَدٍ مِّنْهُمَا. What happens if somebody wants to quarrel with God about these two traits? God's arrogant and also, Then what happens? God says, I will cast that person in the hellfire. I'm arrogant and that's it. Everybody else, abid, imah. God doesn't like that. He doesn't like it. Not even a little bit of arrogance. Let me give you a story. This is from Imam Sadiq. He tells us, Allahumma salli ala. The Imam is telling us, he says, Umira Iblis bisujood li Adam. Iblis, Shaitan, was told to prostrate before Adam. Prostrate. And Iblis tried to negotiate. What did Iblis say? Ya Rab, wa izzatika. I swear to you, by your own greatness, by your own majesty, لَأَنْ أَعْفَيْتَنِي مِنَ السُّجُودِ لِآدَمْ لَأَعْبَدُّكَ. He says, if you will just let me skip this one thing, don't make me prostrate to this guy Adam. Just that. If you do that, لَأَعْبَدُّكَ عِبَادَةً مَا عَبَدُكَ أَحَدٌ قَدْ مِثْلَهَا. There was none of your creation ever who will perform a worship act of ibadah like I will. Just this one. Let me slip on this one. Let me get away from this one. I'll worship you, and I'll worship you. None of your creation will worship you like me. You know what God said? God shared. Well, I shouldn't say that because God doesn't share. Right? God God commanded. قال الله جل جلاله إني أحب أن أطاع من حيث أريد. I'm the one who gives commands. You do what I say. I will do a special kind of ibadah. I don't need your ibadah. Do what I say. So, for ourselves, just as a quick reminder, when we're talking about tawadhu towards Allah, we have to worship God how God said to be worshipped. I can't have my own version of Islam. There's certain things in Islam I'm comfortable with, and other things I've got a little bit of a problem. Oh, a problem. Is it because of your kibr? If it's kibr, the reason I'm not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've got a problem with God. God can't tell me what to do. I choose how to worship Allah. If that's the case, that will be a nice place in Jahannam for that person. If it's kibr, God doesn't like that. We must all do wajibat. I want to show tawadhu towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us, we have to do our wajibat. I can't ever reject God. That I don't accept this. That can't be the case. Now, with this humility that we want to show to God, now we have to move a little bit quickly. We want to show God and humility to God, right? And we also need to show humility and be humble towards those around us, the rest of Allah's creation. Okay? By the way, this is different, brothers and sisters, to a feeling of I have no sense of self-worth. Let's say I'm humble. I'm humble towards God's creation, but the reason I'm humble towards God's creation is because I don't think very much of myself. I'm nobody. I can't contribute anything to the cause. I don't have any confidence. I don't believe in myself. So of course I'm humble. No, that's not what we're talking about. Actually, those are diseases of the soul. If I lack confidence, I need to go back to the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. Why don't I have confidence in myself? I feel I'm worthless. Even if I've made mistakes, you're the greatest of Allah's creation. Why do you feel worthless? So it doesn't mean being humble to God's creation is because I don't feel any value. Actually, for brothers and sisters, and especially for our mothers and our fathers, make sure you build the sense of confidence and self-worth in your children. Sometimes your children will have a poor self-image. They won't think very much about themselves. It's our jobs as parents to make sure they do value themselves. They know how special they are. We have a hadith that explains to us what happens if someone feels no sense of self of value. Pretty scary a hadith. I'll just read you one of them. It says, "Man hanat alayhi nafsu." If somebody reaches the stage that I have no sense of self-worth, I'm worthless, I'm useless, they say, watch out from this person. فَلَا تَرْجُوْ خَيْرًا. Don't expect any good from the person. Don't expect any good from the person. We're going to make sure, no, our children, مَنْ كَرُمَتْ عَلَيْهِ نَفْسُ. Read those ahadith. Right? How good is that for the soul? I know I'm one of Allah's creation. I'm a Shia of Ali. Right? We have to have those things. Actually, the tawadhu that we're looking for, I'll just share a verse and I'll see if, inshallah, we can somehow get a chance to understand this verse. Our tawadhu was based on the idea that we're created by Allah and we're slaves of Allah. Whatever tawfiq we have, whatever success we have, whatever outward secular success we have, all that we have is from God. What does the verse say? Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O people, you have nothing in and of yourselves. Everything you have is from God. Right? You stand in need of God. وَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ God is the one who's free of need, the one who's praiseworthy. Right? So, from our point of view, we don't want to believe that the reason I'm showing humility to the rest of God's creation is because I have no sense of value. Actually, the hadith tell us the opposite. What's wonderful is when I show tawadhu and humility towards God's creation while I am in a position of strength. Let's read the hadith together. This is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna afdhala an-nas man tawadha'a 'an rif'ah. The best of people, the best of mankind, is that person who is humble while being in an elevated state, while being strong. Things are going well. Alhamdulillah, the world has turned towards me. I have every barakah and blessing that a mu'min could have. And still, I see all of my tawfiq as being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not better than anybody else. But you're wealthy, but you're beautiful, but you have secular education. Whatever it is, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Humility in that regard. Whatever I have is from God. I don't have anything from myself. Why would I be arrogant, somebody who doesn't have anything? Doesn't mean I don't have confidence. Doesn't mean I can't handle responsibility. I'm not capable. No, I can. بِتَوْفِيقٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ So for us, what happens is even those who are actually in positions of power and position and strength, we see humility. I'll give you an example. The wife of the leader. The wife of the leader of the Muslims, she was going to one of the hospitals, I believe in Tehran, called Baqiyatullah, one of the hospitals. She is the wife of a man who everyone in the country would, not everyone, there are some who don't like the Islamic Republic, the majority would die for. Follow, listen, be honored if they can just sit with this person. And she's going to the hospital and she's going by herself. She needs an operation. Bodyguards, support, assistance. She goes by herself to the hospital. And brothers and sisters, for those of you who haven't been to the Islamic Republic, sometimes some of the hospitals in Iran can be a little rough around the edges. A little rough around the edges. Anyhow, so she goes to the hospital. Nobody knows who she is. She goes over, she's filling out the paperwork, she's doing all of her responsibilities, going to everything. She has the operation. Let's say 2 to 3 days later, they get news that the leader himself is coming to the hospital. Her own physicians, the people operating on her, had no idea. I'm not any better than anybody else. I'm just like the rest of the people. Know this about his family also, about his sons. They're all renting. They're regular people. But my dad, no, tawadhu. So that kind of tawadhu. No, I alhamdulillah, it's wonderful to be from this family, to have such a person, but it doesn't mean that I feel I'm better than anybody else. Now, the next question is, how can we show tawadhu? How can I show tawadhu to other people? I want to be one of those soldiers of the imam of the time. How can I show tawadhu? One of the ways for us to practice tawadhu is humility and show and serving others. Those people want to be the leaders of the muttaqin. How is it? How are we when it comes to serving our brothers and sisters? Am I somebody who looks for others to serve? Or even in my house, let's say as a mother or a father, in my house, when I'm dealing with my wife, I see this as a chance to serve Lady Fatima. When I'm dealing with my children, it's a chance for me to serve Hassan and Hussein. When I'm dealing with my husband, it's a chance for me to serve God, right? To serve Imam Ali by serving another Shia. I'm looking to serve, to work for others. You know what would happen on the battlefield with someone? Let me share some of the stories. Those people who God chose to be shuhada, right? He chose these individuals. They would clean the toilets of the other soldiers. The commander. Let me give you a story. One of the commanders, the guy said, it was a true story. He says, I came into the base and, you know, I'm a new soldier. People, some brothers come in, they welcome me. He says, one brother, this guy was amazingly humble. Really, it just stood out. He says, the guy welcomed me in, sit me down, here's some food, bismillah, serving me food off the plate. He says, and this is the part that really got me, he said, he went over and he cut up some watermelon for me. And he said it was wonderful watermelon, it was nice, cool. He says, he served me that watermelon, looking out for me like a father would look out for his son. He said, I ate the watermelon, alhamdulillah, enjoyed it, put the watermelon down. He said, I noticed the guy went over and he picked up the watermelon. There was still a little bit left on the watermelon, and he ate after me. He said, when the guy left, I was like, who was that guy? MashaAllah, mutawadhi, who was that guy? They said, he's the commander of the whole base. Then God chose him, he became shaheed. Looking to serve. This is an honor for me. Not, I want to order. I want to command. I'm looking for an opportunity to serve another mu'min. So, another one of the signs, right? Now I said it was going to be a little difficult. We make that dua, but it's a little difficult. I want to be one of the imam of the muttaqeen. What do they tell us? What is the sign of true humility? This is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajah. One of the things they tell us is that, he says, among the signs of humility, he says, is that we stop arguing for the sake of arguing. And يَتْرُكَ الْمِرَىٰ وَإِنْ كَانَ حَقًّا. Me and you are having a conversation. You see that Sheikh Usama is stubborn about this issue. Incidentally, the right is on your side. You are explaining the point. You're explaining is right. How long should I continue to argue with this person? He's stubborn. How long should I continue to argue with this person? Once truth becomes clear, I've explained my point, this person can now see it, but still he wants to say he's right. Do I have enough tawadhu that I can say, that's okay, Shaykh. Alhamdulillah. I've already explained my point. I don't argue for the sake of arguing. No, I'm going to prove it to you. Sit down, I'll tell you adilla, right? Hadith, ayat. No, just want to make sure truth is clear. You understand the thing? Jazakumullah khairan. To be able to leave that. Apologizing. This is a tough one sometimes. Sometimes when you get married, for those of you who are still single, you haven't been tested in this way. For some of us who've been married, apologizing to our spouse when we've done something wrong. A test. Sometimes in a social arena, I'm working with other brothers, other sisters, and I was mistaken. Do I go back and do I apologize? They say, Mullah Nasruddin, that once somebody came to him, one of his friends came to him. He said, Mullah Nasruddin, how old are you? He said, I'm 40. He said, but somebody asked you that 2 years ago. You said you were 40. He said, a man's word is his bond. Once I said, that's it. I don't apologize. Me. Sometimes how we show that kibr, that lack of tawadhu, is I can't accept the apologies of anybody else. When you apologize to me, I keep what you've said. Right? I hold grudges like anything. I still remember. I remember what you did. You're apologizing, Shaykh, but you know what the hadith says? Sharrun nas, the worst of people, man la yaqbalul udhr. You apologize to them, they don't accept it. The worst of people. Do I accept the apology of my mu'mineen and mu'minat, other brothers and sisters? They come to me, they say, look, Shaykh, no, you made that mistake. You are the one. You know what happens if we want to get to this stage? When I notice, when I speak to people who can't forgive, and all of us, like me, I can't forgive. I remember. I know who you are. I know where you live. When I notice people like myself who don't forgive, I remember this hadith of Imam Ali. Right? What happens is that Imam tells us, he says, those people who forget their own mistakes consider the mistakes of others to be huge, unforgivable. You disgust me. Right? I can't forgive. I can't let go. Right? What happens is, this is a sign. When I can't forgive, I'm not self-aware. I'm not aware of my own problems and my own flaws and my own issues. That's a sign, brothers and sisters. We have to work on ourselves. If I can't forgive others, That means I've forgotten my own sins. I have issues. I have problems. I'm lack of self-awareness. I have no idea how wicked I am. Because otherwise, what I want God to deal with me as I deal with others, sometimes I tell some of the brothers and sisters, it's a good thing you're not Qasim al-Jannati wa-Nar. You would throw everybody in Jahannam. We have to make sure that we're not like that, inshallah. Is there ever a time when we don't apologize? Because being a mu'min doesn't mean that the mu'min always just puts his head down or her head down. Jazakumullah khairan. Sometimes the mu'min doesn't apologize. For instance, one of the examples, one of the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, and this one is practical. They say, this is from Imam Ali, he says, never apologize for obeying Allah. Never apologize for obeying Allah. Strong cultures, brothers and sisters, let's keep this in mind. Islam is on the move. Islam is on the move. We're moving quickly. Inshallah, we'll be victorious soon. But when Islam is victorious is when mu'mineen and mu'minat are not apologetic for Islam. Apologetic, weak Islam. Closet Muslims. I'm terrified of my own faith. I apologize to you if I stop doing the... I'll give you an example. For instance, let's say I'm in a wedding. Uh-oh, it's going to get difficult. Nobody come and rush the sheikh, right? I explained to brothers and sisters, I know taekwondo. Anybody don't like what I say? I know taekwondo. Okay? So, for instance, it's a wedding. For instance, mu'mineen and mu'minat gathered at the wedding, and then the music starts to come on. Right? They're going to get busy. At this stage, as a mu'min and mu'mina, out of protest that God doesn't want this haram music, doesn't want to see Muslim men and women dancing together, I get up and I leave. Do I apologize for leaving? I'm sorry. God said leave. God said leave. Let's say I'm in a meeting and, for instance, they're serving alcohol at the table, and I've explained to them already, as a mu'min, I don't sit at the table if there's alcohol. And I just tell them this is how my religion is. Thanks. Now I'm going to apologize for my faith. You know what's really sad? When you see homosexuals not apologizing. The gay population, they don't apologize for their actions. They don't feel bad. They're gay and they're proud. And as a mu'min who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm apologizing. Strong cultures are the ones that you make room for the culture. You make room for the deen. Yeah, we don't do that. We come in, for instance, where is the prayer area? I have a ritual to perform. No. Where's your prayer area? You're strong. You're demanding. Not weak. So there are some times. Now let's move quickly. Children, how can children show that they're humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the tests for us, for our children, is to show humility to our parents. Different from Western culture. Different from what we see in the movies, TV, how parents are presented. But we go by Quran and Sunnah. How does God want me to be towards my parents? We have in the verses of the Quran, it says, وَحْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ. Lower the wing of humility for the parents. For instance, what do they tell us in the hadith? They say, even if your parents strike you unjustly. And I'm not saying parents should beat up their kids. By the way, those parents who do, they're a little quick with the hand. There's a little tiny amount of gold you have to pay if you kind of bruise the person. And so I wouldn't advise corporal punishment above and beyond the rules. Right? But anyhow, let's say my parents hit me or screamed at me unjustly. How do I show my tawadhu to God? The hadith tell us, you don't look at your parents in an angry fashion. You don't give dad or mom the death look. Yeah. Oh no, astaghfirullah, the mu'min. Humility, kindness, ihsan towards the walidain. How do we show it? How do parents show it? How do parents show it? Remember now from the story of the Lady Fatima, the humility that the Prophet would show towards his daughter. This is what it says in the hadith. It says, إِذَا دَخَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ rahaba biha. Whenever she would enter the room, the Prophet would welcome, marhaba, welcome to the Lady Fatima. Waqama ilayha, the Prophet would get up, his daughter comes in the room, get up and he would move towards her. Fa'akhadha biyadiha, he would take her hand. Faqabbala yadaha, he would kiss her hand. He would tell her to sit in his spot. So much respect. What are we told as mu'mineen and mu'minat? We're told, when it comes to our children, to show respect to our children. To show respect to our children. We're told in the hadith, it says, أَكْرِمُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ وَأَحْسِنُوا أَدَبَهُمْ. Honor your children, respect your children, and teach them good manners, good akhlaq, adab. If you do this, يُغْفَرْ لَكُمْ. You'll be forgiven. By teaching them good manners, by being kind. Now what happens to some of us parents? Some of us, the reason that we kind of are a little shadeed when it comes to the children, there's good reason, is that for sometimes we're a little worried our children won't listen. They won't be scared. They'll stop obeying. So for this reason, But brothers and sisters, the two types of authority one can have over one's children. One time, the type of authority that I have over my children is out of fear of me, because I will get loud, because I will shout. Another time, I have authority over them because of their love for me. If one has authority over their children, and again, that might mean as a parent, I have to discipline, I have to say no, right? Man habbaka nahak. Whoever loves you, they tell you no, they stop you from doing certain things. That's not a problem. But if the relationship is based on love, the authority and control that I'll have over the child is much greater than the authority which is only based on fear. When I'm away, because of the love they have for their parent, they listen. So we want to keep that in mind. How do we, oh, by the way, especially respecting our daughters, by the way. We have in the hadith, they say, the best of women is the woman who's respected in her house. Azizatan fi ahliha. That she's aziza, she is respected in her homes. Let's make sure we respect our daughters, and especially if they're named Fatima. We have in the hadith, the person, the imam says, if you name your daughter Fatima, many of us, our daughter's names are Zahra, Batul, right? These names, he says, if you do this, he says, فَلَا تَسُبُّهَا, don't curse her. وَلَا تَلْعَنْهَا, don't send la'an on her. وَلَا تَذْرِبْهَا, never beat her. Don't slap her around. Don't slap her around. So, how do we show now for the spouse? Let's make it a little bit more challenging for the rest of us. How do I show respect to my spouse? Tawadhu towards Allah by showing respect to my spouse. I'll start off with the responsibility of the husbands. In Islam, it's true. What we say about the relationship of husband and wife is different than the West. We learn that women have rights and men have rights, but men are the leaders of their families. Let's read the verse of the Quran. وَلَّهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Men, or in this verse, women, they have rights, just like their obligations that they have over them, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, on honorable terms. So similar to the obligations that are expected from them, they also have rights. What else? وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. The men have a rank over them. It's not just a democracy. There's one who has a little bit of rank over the other. Does that mean spiritually they're better? No. But when it comes to the relationship between the two, another hadith. Kullu nafsin min bani Adam sayyid. Everybody, every person, male or female, from amongst the children of Adam, has a role of leadership. Sayyid. He says, فَالرَّجُلُ سَيِّدُ أَهْلِهِ. The man is in charge of his family. Okay, so now if a man is in charge of his family, but at the same time he knows, I'm supposed to be humble. This is a responsibility. Sayyidul qawm khadimuhum. I'm supposed to be a servant. Yes, I'm a leader, but I'm also a servant. I'm going to bring these guys towards paradise. How can I show humility as a humble father? Mutawadhi, for the sake of God. Let's say I'm talking to my wife. Very important. Do I help out with the chores in the house? I want to show tawadhu, right? When my children are looking, and brothers and sisters, especially in front of your children, we have to make sure that they see how it is that a couple should be operating. Again, we're not saying it's wajib on the dad to do the chores. Take out the garbage, the wife tells him. Take out the garbage. It's wajib on you. No. Inside the house for Fatima, outside for Ali. But the seerah of Ali was to help out with the garbage, to help out with the chores rather. So, now if I'm trying to be that humble father, one of the things I need to do is to make sure that I help out with the chores around the house. Chores around the house. If not, what I'm doing is I'm teaching my children, mommy's a maid. They're watching. Dad sits home. Dad's the leader of the house. I want to be like Dad. Okay? Helping out with the children. What's the tone I use when I'm speaking to my wife? How am I teaching my children? Do I order? I give commands or I request? How do I address her? Do I micromanage? Do I respect her in front of the children? Now, because we're running out of time, let me give a little bit to the sisters also. They want to be mutawadhi towards God. What about the wife? How can the wife be mutawadhi? The hadith tells us, لَوْ أَمَرْتُ أَحَدًا أَنْ يَشْجُدَ لِأَحَدٍ. If I told anybody to make sajda for the other person, I would tell the woman to make sajda for her husband. That's how she's going to show her tawadhu towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That her husband, in other than the wajib areas, by the way, there's some areas where it's wajib for the wife to show respect to the husband, to obey. Tawadhu an lillah. For instance, in her appearance, right? If she has something about her appearance, her husband doesn't like. Let's say the wife has a mustache and she likes it. Alhamdulillah, Allah made me like this. And the husband says, please, could you get rid of the mustache? She's like, no, I like, right? It's wajib for her to get rid of the mustache. Wajib. I'm talking about the other areas where it's not wajib. Right? Being a leader of the house and right, making him the leader and in charge, major decisions, telling the children, dad's in charge. Dad's the leader. Not like some women. They have these stories sometimes. They're so sad. They said one time a woman and her husband came to the dentist. And the woman told the dentist, she said, we're in a big hurry. We need to get a tooth pulled, but we don't want any anesthesia. Just get in there and take care of business. And the dentist turned to her. He's like, wow, you are really brave. Which tooth is it? She turned to her husband. Show him your tooth, dear. So sometimes the chain of command is not like that, right? But the right way to be, and now, just to end now, the right way to be is to let the husband be the major decision maker. We're not talking about micromanaging, but be the major decision maker. Very quickly, let me go on to the Masaib. The Masaib, meaning the story of the Lady Fatima, and this is where I end, inshallah, the brother will mention. What happens is the Lady Fatima took several steps to fight for the wilaya of Ali. One, she went over and she openly was a supporter of wilaya. She went and she marched among the people. After the death of the Holy Prophet, they went to the houses of the mu'mineen. They asked on the door, they said, come support Ali. She was an open supporter of wilaya. After that, she supported Ali when they came to burn the house. She stood in front of the door. She protected Ali with her own body, even if it meant the house getting burned. In addition to that, what else did she do? Remember that story about Fadak, that land that she was granted during the time of the Holy Prophet, and was usurped by the oppressors? She went over and she demanded that land back. Again, this is a chance for her to show the mu'mineen and mu'minat who is really haq and batil. In addition to that, what else? Silence. This is mentioned, by the way, in Sahih Bukhari, right? That Lady Fatima, for 6 months, she never spoke to the first Khalif. She died angry with him. It's mentioned, book number, volume number 4, you can go online, Sahih Bukhari, volume number 4, book number 53, hadith number 325, upset with the Khalifa. What else? The women of Medina came to visit the Lady Fatima when she was sick. She gave a fiery speech. What happened to your men? How come they're not supporting Ali? The men came. They tried to excuse themselves. Oh, it's late. She said, your excuse is worse than your sin. What else did the lady do? She ordered Bilal to call the adhan. Remember, Bilal stopped calling the adhan after the right was taken from Ali. She went over and asked Bilal again, I want to hear the adhan. And she started, when she heard the adhan, she started crying, people remembering. She cried aloud during the day. She cried so much, the people of Medina said, either you cry at the day or you cry at the night. We need peace. What else? The last point. The Khalifa came to visit the Lady Fatima. Now we're going to see that relationship between husband and wife. They came to visit the Lady Fatima. It's now a public relations disaster. The daughter of the Prophet injured, house burned, not talking to the Khalifa. The word has spread. They come to visit the Lady Fatima. When they come to visit the Lady Fatima, they ask for permission to enter. Fatima says no. They go to Ali. Ali comes over to her and see how respectfully he addresses her. Ayyatu al-hurra, O free woman, fulan wa fulan bilbab. They're here at the door, they want to visit you. They say, first Lady Fatima said no. Then Ali said, I promised them. She said these words. She said, al-baytu baytuk, al-hurratu zawjatuk. She said, the house is your house. You make the decisions. The house is your house. The free woman is your wife. You do whatever you want. They came into the house. When they came into the house, the Lady Fatima put a sheet over herself. She turned to face the wall. They came on one side and tried to pass salams to her. She refused to answer their salams. They came to the other side of the bed. Remember, the house is full of the women of Muhajir, Ansar, Ashab, Bani Hashim. Everybody's there. They're seeing Lady Fatima. She turns this way. They come to the other side. They try and talk to her. She said, what brought you here? Why are you here? What do you want to say? They started begging her, please, you forgive us. Be pleased with us. She said, I'm going to ask you one question. If you confirm my question, I'll decide what I'm going to do. She said, did you ever hear the Prophet say this hadith? I ask you to swear by God. Did you ever hear the Prophet say this? Fatima bad'atun minni. Fatima is a part of me. Wa ana minha. وَمَنْ أَذَاهَا فَقَدْ أَذَانِي. Whoever has bothered her has bothered me. They said, Allahumma na'am. Yes, we heard that. She said, Alhamdulillah. Then she said these words, Allahumma inni ushiduka. God bear witness. وَشْهَدُوا يَا مَنْ حَذَرَنِي. Whoever is present in this gathering, you bear witness. أَنَّهُمَا قَدْ أَذَيَانِي. These people have bothered me. في حياتي وعند مماتي ولا أكلمهما من رأسي كلمة حتى ألقى ربي. I won't speak even one word to them until I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.